like comic books? Me too. Hi, I'm John. Join me over at the Comics Underground podcast, where I invite guests to discuss their favorite comic books, graphic novels, manga, and more. Go to BFOPnetwork.com for more info or find me on your favorite podcatcher. I'll see you there.
The Blast from Our Past Network.
Hello and welcome back to Action Action, the action movie podcast that watches all the action movies. We put them on our list and they are on there for everyone to see. I am your host, James. I'm joined by, Dustin.
Yeah, we're joined with.
we're joined with Dustin here together. We're a part of the BFOP network. You can check out all the great shows. There's too many to list, but they're there.
They're great. Check them out.
They're great. You can also find us on Letterboxd. That's where the list is, at Action Action. And, anyways, we're back. We're doing a Patreon. We're doing a Patreon pick this week. We're doing Wes's pick, 1992's rated R Lady Dragon. But before we get to that, Dustin, what have you been up to? What are we sinking? What are we swimming? What are we seeking and destroying?
Oh man, what have been? Well, I just told you my long story about snowshoeing. I won't get into the gritty details, but that was an experience.
That was an adventure.
Yeah, the snowshoeing itself was fine. The hotel we stayed at, bit of a horror story. Uh-huh. But in terms of things I've been watching, what have I been sinking? What have I been swimming?
Yeah,
if you will. let's see. I watched Joe's Apartment from 1996.
Okay.
Do you remember this movie? It has Jerry O'Connell. It was an MTV production. It was about him moving to New York City, young guy. His apartment is full of cockroaches. They're like kind of animated, maybe some early computer effects stuff.
Right.
They talk and sing and all this shit.
It sounds familiar. I don't think I ever watched it.
Yeah, I never saw it before now either, even though I've been aware of it ever since it came out. Just never saw it. It's pretty fun. It's like super goofy. It's got a like serious like anti-landlord message. These cockroaches are anti-landlord.
Oh, okay.
It's like the whole property kind of forced the guy out of the tenement. So he comes to New York. He can't afford a real place. He makes friends with this artist guy. They happen to come across this grandma who has just been sort of killed by these two guys, thugs who work for this real estate guy. Mm-hmm. She was like the last holdout in this building they needed to get rid of, just kind of like we were talking about in The Crow.
Right.
They needed to get rid of her so that they could take over this building. But he comes along and the artist guy's like, oh, pretend that you're her son so you can get a place with like a fixed rent. And so he goes in, pretends to be the son. And so then the movie, you know, they're coming around to threaten him and stuff. And the cockroaches, stand up for him, but they also kind of like ruin stuff.
Cockroaches?
Yeah, the cockroaches are like a team, right? They're like an army and they can get shit done. It's goofy. It's like a cartoon. It's like kind of a Merry Melodies type almost humor to a lot of it, with like a 90s sort of edge to it. But it's pretty fun. Like it's stupid and goofy, but I had a not too bad time with that.
Nice.
And I rewatched Striking Distance with Bruce Willis because, you know, we did Last Man Standing a little while ago and I was like, I'm going to revisit some of these 90s Bruce Willises I haven't watched in a while.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah. So this one's like an action thriller, more on the thriller side of things. Only a few real action set pieces in the movie, but they're pretty good. He's a cop who testified against his own partner for police brutality. The force kind of all hates him, but all his like uncles and his dad and everyone, they're all cops. They're in Boston. They're all Irish and Italian family that are married through marriage. And Dennis Farina is his uncle, and Tom Sizemore is his cousin.
They all hate him too.
Some of his family still likes him, but like the force overall like hates his guts now because he's like one of these, you know, he's went against his brothers in blue kind of thing. Yeah. Meanwhile, he's investigating these serial murders, by this guy that's killing all these women. And, after he gets kind of shit canned down to being, a boat cop or whatever you call those guys,
River Patrol.
The killings start up again and he thinks it's the same guy who was doing the killings before. Uh-huh. And he starts like dumping him in the river so that Bruce Willis will find him. Sarah Jessica Parker is his partner on the boat, and you know what? This is a fun movie. I think at the time it got pretty bad reviews. I remember liking it. I saw it in the theater. I remember liking it fine. Wasn't one of my favorite Bruce's or anything, but it's pretty fun. It's like a just a '90s thriller. Solid. It's got good. Like I said, a few good action sequences.
Nice.
The killer reveal and stuff is all pretty ridiculous, but it's fun and it's got a really good cast of character actors in it.
Yeah.
And then keeping on that 90s action tip, I watched Fled with Lawrence Fishburne and Stephen Baldwin, another movie I had seen in the theater way back when.
Oh, yeah. Now, I remember watching it. I don't remember too much about it, but...
It's not a great movie, but it's all right. It's like we were talking about lately with this idea of a cable movie.
Yeah.
If you came across it on cable, yeah, definitely stop and watch it. It's entertaining enough for sure. The first half is more entertaining when they are handcuffed together.
Right.
I feel like I've been watching a lot of these movies lately, ever since we did Tiger Cage 2. This theme keeps coming up in movies I've been watching where people are handcuffed to each other.
Together. All right.
Yeah, you know, they're prisoners. They don't get along. Stephen Baldwin is a hacker. and he pretends he's like, what's his name? I can't remember my online name is like Cyber Thug or something like that. He's like, you know,
right.
He wants to be a gangster. Will Patton is the cop who is kind of searching for them. Selma Hayek is in it. It's pretty fun. The action is actually quite good.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more action in this than Striking Distance, for example. But, the second half of the movie is a lot of like, where's the disc? I need the disc. Right. Give me the disc. You know, that kind of shit.
Uh-huh.
90s stuff. But yeah, it's okay. Last one I'll mention is Gun Crazy Noir from 1950. I hadn't watched any noir in a while and kind of feeling it maybe from watching the Monster Spade or something. It's kind of bringing up some of those appetites.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch Asphalt Jungle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's been on my list, too, for a long time.
I need to get around to it because I keep thinking, oh, man, I need to watch it. And then just can't seem to. I get stuck watching, you know, a shitty fucking
sometimes it's just Netflix easy. Movie. It's just easy to put on a shitty movie.
I know.
Right? Instead of like.
Because then I don't have to pay attention.
Yeah, you don't have to have your brain in the right kind of frame of mind or whatever. But, yeah, this was pretty good. This is so it's like a young guy. We see him from when he's a kid. He's kind of obsessed with guns, shooting and stuff. He's not like violent. He just likes shooting, like the whole idea of it and everything. So he grows up. He comes back to his hometown. His buddies take him to the carnival and they see this woman who is like, she's part of the carnival show. And she's like one of these Annie Oakley types who can shoot all these moving targets and all this stuff.
Right.
So, he kind of goes up against her as a volunteer from the crowd and, you know, they're both so good. And so they end up like starting a relationship with each other, a relationship founded on gun craziness. she's like a femme fatale. She kind of gets him into like doing stick ups and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And he's like kind of more innocent and just like, he never was into that. He was just, you know, he liked shooting, but, he has to keep stopping her from like killing people and stuff. But it's interesting because he never stops. Like he never has that moment in the movie where he kind of turns and is like, you're evil. You ruined me or kind of thing. He's always like, no, I still love you.
Right.
Even though she has absolutely like corrupted him kind of thing. And yeah, of course, you know, it's one of those movies that's, you know, fated to be tragic. It's not going to end well for these two, but it's a fun ride. So yeah, I'd recommend Gun Crazy to the noir folks out there.
Cool.
But what about you, sir? What have you been watching?
Well, I finished True Detective, the first season. I don't know if I mentioned that already.
No, you said you had started it.
Okay, yeah. So I finished the first season, which is like crazy. Mm-hmm. Like I wasn't expecting to like that show to be like that, but it was definitely entertaining, but also like
heavy
a lot.
Yeah.
So very entertaining. And then, I'm caught up on like the fourth season.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So, skip two and three and then I'm caught up on the fourth
season. Right. Yeah. And maybe later go back and watch three, cause it's pretty solid.
Okay.
What are you thinking about season four? I don't know where I'm at with it, to be honest.
I kind of go back and forth because I first think, oh, it's got to be something like The Thing, but then it turns into like, okay, so it's some kind of like spiritual, like indigenous thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, is it, or is this, or just an illusion?
Like, right. Yeah.
Right. Where it's like, you're just trying to fill in the blanks when,
or people get kind of a little bit crazy and see things because they're living in the dark for so long. Kind
yeah,
of.
Exactly. So right. It's like, I don't really know. Mm-hmm. I feel like the newest episode just kind of like it crossed a line.
I don't think they had one that just came out, right? Or there's one coming out today, I guess, maybe, or tomorrow.
No, it comes out on Sunday. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's Saturday this week because it's Super Bowl.
Okay.
But yeah.
So,
oh yeah. So the end, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I just feel like it kind of maybe crossed a line where it's like, it's a little further than reality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know, like I'm going to watch it. I'm not
going to. Oh yeah. I'm definitely interested enough to see where it goes.
But I'm definitely kind of getting TV fatigue.
Oh yeah, you've been watching too many series.
Well,
lately.
Because I've been watching Monsieur Spade,
right?
And like, I really enjoy watching that show, but like, they're like the dialogue is amazing, but like the last episode especially is like 95% in French.
Oh yeah, right.
And they talk so quickly that that it's hard to read. I have to like go back,
yeah,
because it just goes by so quickly. But you know, I'm enjoying that quite a bit. But I'm also just kind of like, there's so many shows and too like
always. Yeah.
I also watched like, I'm like, oh, you know, I'll throw something on, and like we watched, my wife and I watched the first two episodes of The Office.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. I never watched The Office.
Oh yeah.
And like, I found it hilarious, but then I looked at how many seasons there are and I'm like, I can't do it.
They ain't short seasons either.
Like, yeah.
They're like 20 something episodes.
Well, the first season is
short. Yeah. I think it started like a halfway through.
But I'm just like, I can't do it. Like, I'm not going to watch this. So I just stopped watching it. But it's just like,
I've watched it twice, James.
Well, you're a sick individual. Okay.
It's a funny ass show.
I know, but like, that's the thing.
There's only so much time. So you got to decide what are you going to spend it on? Right.
But I'm also like, and I, you know, I don't want this to take up too much time, cause we could have a whole hour conversation about this, or me just, you know, venting to my therapist, Dustin, about it, where
here, James, you can talk to me.
I'm just like getting to the age and the point in my life where I'm just like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, what am I really doing? You know, like I watch all these shows and I watch all these movies and then it's like, you know, I have other things I want to do and goals I want to achieve.
You guys are hearing an existential crisis happening right now on the show.
You know, like, what am I doing? What the fuck am I doing with my life? And, you know, I have kids and they take up time and all my fucking money. And, you know, it's just like,
yeah, you should probably give those guys away. Open up some time slots for yourself.
Yeah, I don't know. Like TV shows, there's a lot of really good shows, and I can acknowledge that they're good. I just am never gonna wear them. I'm never gonna watch them.
Well, I hear you there. You know, like there's so much TV, there's so much content, and all these like, streaming services, and never mind cable, because you know most of that's complete shit. But there's so much stuff, and it's like, okay, well, yeah, I bet you this show is really good, but am I going to watch? Am I going to watch fucking 18 episodes per season, you know, 24 episodes a season of The Office for six seasons? Well, maybe you don't want to put that time in. That's understandable.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'm just like, I feel like I'm like, I don't know. I'm like a stoner, and I'm like, I'm not going to be a part of the fucking system, man. Like, I'm not going to do this. Like, put my kids to bed and then I watch my shows, man. Like, fuck you. Right? So just like, and then like, tear it all down, man. I don't know. Shows are difficult for me. You know, I can watch a 90-minute movie and that's about
it.
It's done. You know, I can put that away and move on. Yeah. So sync life.
Sync life.
You know? Anyways. That's about it. I'll save my other shit for another episode of my other things I watched.
Speaking of movies we can put away.
Yeah, well, for whatever fucking reason, Wes is it?
Yeah, those are Wes's. Wes's Patreon pick.
You know,
thanks, bud.
Thank you, Wes. What the fuck, man? All right, we got 1992's Lady Dragon. Let's hear a trailer if there's one.
From the director of Kickboxer, Lady Dragon. She was widowed on her wedding day, an act of point-blank brutality. A crime that could not go unpunished. Her tortured memories have driven her to a life of pain and anger.
You'd be totally flipped out, girl.
It's a living.
You don't have a chance.
This thing's personal, and I will get him.
Her rage controls her every moment.
Maybe tonight I'll get even.
She will stalk her target anywhere.
Betcha. Yes? Do you know what I could do to you?
A new beginning finds her.
Oh, it's terrible.
Tastes bad, but makes good inside. A broken body cannot mend with a wounded spirit.
She must find redemption from the spirit.
The path to perfection is patience.
Salvation from the spirit. Inspiration from the spirit of the dragon.
A lady dragon!
Now she can fight fire with fire.
Kill them. Make it look like somebody else's work.
She will move heaven and earth to stop him.
I don't make the rules. I just profit by them. Very interesting girl. Why don't you invite her out to the house this weekend? Love the martial arts.
So are you as good as they are?
Well, suppose I show you. You know, it'd be such a shame not to have you to myself before I...
You know who you are.
Paybacks are a bitch. Aren't they, Sugar?
Ludwig wants another crack at you. A fight to the death.
The courage. The force. The power. The spirit of the dragon. Robert Ginty, Richard Norton, and Cynthia Rothrock. Lady Dragon.
All right, so 1992's Lady Dragon. We got the Rothrock.
Cynthia.
Richard Norton.
Yeah.
But let's go here. We got in
Robert Ginty. Let's not forget.
Oh, yeah. Robert Ginty, an ex-CIA agent living in Indonesia, tracks down the arms dealer who killed her husband. Along the way, she meets a young boy and his grandfather who teach her The Way of the Lady Dragon.
Do they?
she fights fire with fire. That's like poster.
Is that the tagline? Okay.
Does she fight fire with fire? Like,
My God. I mean, oof. I don't even know where to start with this one.
I mean, an hour 37. So you're kind of in the ballpark here. I don't know where to start either. So, I saw the cover and I'm like, okay, you know, early 90s. Okay. Cynthia Rothrock.
Sure.
She's awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. But then the movie started.
Okay. So now just to be clear, I guess, you know, Wes, he told me he picked this movie because he had a VHS copy of it and he'd never watched it. So I assume he was going to, you know, watch it himself and then hear what we had to say about it.
I love this. So we are just,
we're guinea pigs here. He's paying us.
So he's like, I fucking bought this thing. I like have no time to watch it. I need to force these guys to watch it. so then I have to watch it. Wes, just watch it.
Wes, if you haven't watched it yet for some reason while you're listening to this, throw it in the fucking fire, man. Burn that shit.
Okay, so
give Dustin, it to someone so that they can start a fire and be warm tonight.
Obviously, you've never seen this before.
No, I hadn't seen this one. And, you know, we've done a few Rothrocks on the show. Mm-hmm. Marshall Law, mm-hmm. 1 and 2. And we did, of course, Yes, Madam.
Yeah, which was awesome.
And I am open to doing more Rothrocks in the future.
Yeah.
Probably more of the Hong Kong type stuff she's done, more so than her American straight to video stuff. But I'm still open to some of that stuff as well.
Yeah.
This one, I can't say this was a winner. So there's a couple of okay action moments, I guess, strewn throughout the movie, but we start out, she is fighting in, it looks like an airplane hangar of some kind. You know, it's one of these street fight kind of things like we've seen in a bunch of movies. People are taking bets and whatever.
I like this opening. Yeah, I like cool. The concept,
I'm good with the opening.
I think the fight could have been a little bit better.
Yeah, it's not the most well choreographed thing, but it's probably some of the better action in the film.
True.
Really. You know, she gets to at least show off some of her stuff and her sweet kicks and everything.
Mm-hmm.
She kicks this guy's ass. The guy who runs the fights kind of tries to stiff her by taking off. And she's like, hey, you owe me my money. And he's like, oh, right. Yeah, I just forgot. That's all kind of thing.
Right. But this is a guy, I guess, that she deals with all the time.
Yeah, that's the impression I got. Like,
because he comes back at the end.
Yeah, he shows up again. He runs these fights, I guess, or something. Anyway, from there, she goes to this bar and meets up with Robert Ginty's character.
Well, and she dresses up in like a wig and everything.
Well, that's a little bit after. First, she goes to have a drink.
And, oh, yeah, right.
Robert Ginty, we know him from The Executioner. He was the main guy in that who was going around killing people in New York. He's like a family friend, was a friend of her husband.
The Executioner or is it The Exterminator?
Exterminator. You're right. Sorry, Matt. It's a good catch. But yeah, The Exterminator. So we see some really funny flashbacks of her husband getting murdered on their wedding day on the steps.
I mean,
the chapel.
I did find that hilarious.
I mean, I gotta be honest. I actually laughed a lot during this movie because
right. The
dialogue and then like the delivery of that dialogue.
Life is a bitch and then you die.
Yeah, that's his line. By the way, that's the only line quoted on IMDb. If you look at the quotes for this movie. If that was it. That was the most memorable one they had here.
Or there's nothing very, very good, nothing very, very bad lasts long. That is karma.
Jesus.
That is karma.
That rolls off the tongue. That's karma. Is that karma?
Is that karma? I don't know.
I thought this scene was funny. Like, oh, we just got married. And then he's immediately like shot by unseen. Like, we don't even see who shot him or anything.
Yeah, no.
There's a lot of that in this movie, the way that it's edited. Obviously, they didn't have footage for stuff. It cuts away hilariously at moments where you're like, really? There's no payoff to this? But there, anyway.
There's a part later on.
Oh, yeah.
Where,
I know what you're talking about.
Where they dump all this alcohol on a guy.
The bad guy, Richard Norton, dumps alcohol on an underling.
And I'm like, okay, like I could see what's coming. And I'm like, okay, well, at least they're going to have a guy on fire in this movie, which is fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. Robert, and then they cut away.
Yeah, they throw a match. He shows him lighting a match. And we're like, oh, he's going to throw the match on the guy. He's going to burn up. No, just that's it. The scene just ends. We're supposed to fill in the blanks ourselves.
Oh,
because,
my God.
I mean, I'm assuming that they shot this and we're like, okay, and then later we'll do the stunt shot. And then, you know, whoever cobbled together the like $1,800 to shoot this film was like, sorry, guys, we don't have a budget to do a stunt shot like that with somebody on fire. So just not going to have it in the movie. I mean, while I was watching it, I was like laughing because I was like, really? Like, fucking really? This, what's happening right now?
It was brutal. It was seriously like...
Not in the way that I wanted it to be brutal.
Like, every fucking time they cut away.
Oh, my God. And it's even better at the end, but let's save that. Robert Ginty, he's warning her, you shouldn't go after this bad guy who you think murdered your husband. We never find out why she knows it's this guy or whatever. Or if that was in the movie, I forget at this point. But he's like, you know, it's a bad idea. I warned your husband, whatever his name was, Jack or some shit. You know, I warned Jack, like, can't go after this guy. He's going to get killed. And sure enough, you know, he died. And so she's like, no, I'll do what I need to do. You know, she has like I can't remember her exact dialogue here, but like, it's pretty bad. And like, no shade on Cynthia. I know like acting isn't necessarily her strongest thing. Her thing is being really awesome at martial arts and she's great on screen doing that stuff. But with a better director, I feel like, you know, you can get a better performance out of her for sure. And we've seen her be better in stuff than this. So we know that for a fact. But in this movie, I can't say she delivers on the acting front either.
And there was a lot of instant replay from different angles in this movie, which is a very Hong Kong thing, which I don't mind if what you're instantly replaying is fucking awesome.
Right.
But you know what I mean? Like, we don't need instant replays when you, like, I don't know, don't land a fucking punch on somebody's face and it's pretty obvious.
Show it again. But if that's the only footage you have, I guess you got to put it in your movie.
I guess.
Maybe they did do a shot of the guy burning up and it was so shitty and like went so poorly.
Maybe he died.
Maybe he died. And they're like, we can't put that in the movie now. And you know, this director, David Wirth, not exactly like an amazing filmography, but he did Kickboxer with Van Damme, which is a pretty solid action movie. It's certainly a much better made movie than this.
Right.
He's also done movies like Shark Attack 3, Megalodon. So, oh, and don't forget about Shark Attack 2. And that was also him. And believe it or not, James, there is a Lady Dragon 2, which he also directed.
I can't imagine.
Also starring Cynthia Rothrock.
It's good.
Because did they just shoot it at the same time? And because I can't imagine them being like, holy shit, guys, Lady Dragon's going to be so huge that we need to do two of these. Like,
just do it back to back.
Shoot it back to back right now. Actually, apparently I looked it up and she doesn't play the same character in the second one. So I think it's a situation where it was meant to be something else. And then they just said, let's call it Lady Dragon 2 to try to move some units. Because, you know, we'll have all that good word of mouth from the first Lady Dragon.
Yeah, definitely.
Jesus. So, yeah, now we get to that scene that you're talking about. She dresses up with a wig, which looks hilarious.
It definitely fools the main guy.
Yeah. That works totally.
Because he doesn't know, like, later on, he doesn't know that it's the same
person. It's the same person.
Until she says the certain phrase, which I can't even remember what it is. because when she gets close to him, she says something to him, and then she says the same thing later.
Right.
And then he's like, "What?
What? Yeah. So she goes to the bar where Richard Norton is hanging out because she wants to get close to him and try to kill him. Richard Norton, by the way, Australian actor. He's in a ton of B movies, martial arts movies. He's in other Cynthia Rothrock movies. He's in a lot of Hong Kong movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he is pretty fun as the bad guy. It's just
he is.
They don't give him enough to do here.
No.
Like, that could have been a great villainous moment for him to burn the guy. But like we said, they cut away from that. But he's all right in this. He's as good as you can be in this, I think. So I did enjoy him. Would have liked a little bit more. We get that scene with him where he, like, one of his guys is pissed at him. Oh, no, it's like an undercover cop is working in his, finds out he's working in his warehouse.
Well, he tries to sneak into the warehouse, but sets off a laser or something.
Yeah, and he's like, and then he challenges Richard Norton, like, oh, you just have your guys to do your bidding for you. And he's like, I love that. Actually, that scene was probably one of the best ones in the movie. Yeah, he's got his suit on, so he slowly turns around. He's like, he tells his guys to back off, and he's slowly taking his jacket off. And you think, okay, he's going to throw down and show this guy what he's made of because he can fight too. And then he just spins around and shoots the guy in the head. I was like, okay, all right, that's not bad.
I mean, like, that's funny, especially if you want to, like, tease later on he's actually going to fight.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But so, yeah, so Cynthia Rothrock goes to this place. I think she's dolled up to try to look like a prostitute or something.
Yeah.
And she goes in there and she's trying to get close. There's mud wrestling going on in this
classic
bar. Good stuff. And, I just thought of the other women wrestling later that happens. We'll get to that too. And Richard Norton's got all these guys around him, security around him. So she doesn't really get close. He, like, nods at one of his guys to, like, stop her from approaching. And
yeah,
she's like, oh, I'm just lost or something. And then they all chase her and she, you know, she beats them up and stuff. And that's, some of that stuff's all right, I guess. It's not great. I mean, like, some of those punches you're talking about that don't come all that close. And
Well, and then they beat the crap out of her and then they dump her on a rainy day on a, like, dirt road.
Yeah, just out in the jungle.
Out in the jungle. And then that's when she's found by the boy and grandfather.
Yeah. I mean, I guess these are probably the best characters in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, part of me is like, okay, there is a movie here.
And yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there is a good movie here.
There's a skeleton here that you can make something good out of.
Yeah, I mean, it follows all of those kinds of tropes, right?
For sure.
And then, yeah, of course, you're going to have the nursing back to health and mm-hmm. the training and
montages,
all that stuff,
yeah,
right? I did think during this point, I'm like, would I like this movie better if it was a male actor?
Oh, yeah?
I don't know. Like, maybe. I guess it depends who it was. But I don't know. The movie is just so bad.
Yeah,
too.
I don't know how much anyone could improve it based on, you know, like, the filmmaking and the writing. I mean, maybe somebody can bring a certain amount of charm to improve it to a degree, but,
well,
I don't think you could make this great out of, like, just by replacing Cynthia Rothrock.
No, like, I don't think so, but it's like, I've seen this movie before.
For sure, yeah.
And I guess it's just like,
that's how well it's executed.
It's
though.
A certain, like, caliber actor will say, no, no, we're going to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they would almost demand it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So then that would, you know, that's how you get, like, Stallone, you know, saying mm-hmm. that he directed the whole movie.
And sometimes he did.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, they have a vision and, but she's obviously, like, she's not really an actor. Like,
no, she was a martial arts expert.
Yeah.
Brought into movies. And she's not the only one who was like that, right?
No, I know.
And it's like Van Damme wasn't an actor.
No, but Van Damme in this would be fucking awesome.
Well, he'd be better, probably.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's her fault. Like, you need a director that can coax the best out of the person, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think we've got that here. you know, I guess I am throwing shade on David Wirth. Sorry. I mean, he might have been restricted by budget and stuff, but man, the dialogue in this thing, I laughed out loud many times while I was watching this because it's just so bad. Even when Richard Norton, they catch her and before they dump her in the jungle and he's just like demanding, you know, answers from her and she's trying to be fierce and stuff. And it's like, oof, like this is just, this is bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, she's living with the boy and the grandpa. The grandpa's mute, right? And he just kind of signs stuff and the boy explains to her what he means, his wisdoms that he's imparting. Yeah. And you're right. Like these tropes, we've seen these tropes tons of times
totally.
And this totally could work. Right.
I do like how the grandfather like totally annihilates that stick.
Yeah.
He chops it up.
Yeah. And you know, like it's the pretty tepid montage stuff of her on the, you know, balancing, doing splits and, but you know, whatever, it's fine. It's not exciting, but
I honestly like she was doing this stuff and
I like those high kicks where she puts the leg all the way up on the tree and stuff.
Yeah, like, but we need more of that kind of stuff. Like, yeah. I don't want to see her balancing on logs because to me it's like, okay, I've seen kids do this shit. Like,
right.
I want to see you do stuff that is like impressive.
Right. Yeah. So that's the thing too, is like, we respect her skills as a martial artist, so we want to see her get to use those in the movie.
Yeah.
And there's only a couple moments, really, where she gets to do anything cool. Like, mm-hmm. I know there's a scene later where she's fighting, can't remember exactly which scene, and she does one of those kind of high kicks back over her shoulder, and, like, her foot kicks a guy in the head that's behind her.
Right.
That's cool. Yeah. We need more of that. Like, you gotta liven this thing up.
Yeah.
But let's go over to Richard Norton for a sec because we see him with a call girl of some kind and he's like telling her, you do what I say, you do what I say, tell you and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this other woman enters and she's like, are you beating up my girls again kind of thing? Why so mean to them? Is that Susan played by Bella Esperance? I don't know how you say that, but I think that's who she is. She works for him in his business, his office. What is there? She's just like, they're just like an import business, it says, I think.
Yeah.
They're like import exports, like Art Vandelay.
Well, she's like, you know, she's his Maxwell, you know, like Epstein and Maxwell.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. She is.
She basically is.
She is. Cause she brings up like girls from the office. I think they're not even supposed to be like,
no, she
sex
has
workers, right? They're just like, he's just like, I need girls provided.
I need girls.
Bring some girls over. And she just is like, oh, she just sends them over to him. And like, she also sleeps with him. So yeah, you're right. That's exactly the kind of situation it is.
But you get this interaction with her and Cynthia Rothrock later where she's like, Rothrock's like, you know, you don't have to do this and like, you can help me. And this chick's like,
yeah, she's like, nah,
no,
I know where my bread's buttered.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's a very like, I'm like, wow. Like I when that scene happened, I was like, okay, I wasn't really expecting this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
she's also evil. Like she's also bad, right?
I'm like, I get it. Like
I'm with you though. Like I thought, yeah, she's gonna be like, oh, I could get out of this situation. I could, you know, help end this guy. And she's like, nah. That's my dog.
I did think that she was gonna have a like, oh yeah, oh I can change what's going on, but no, she's just like, nope.
She's like, I'm getting what I want out of this situation.
Okay,
feeding this guy women.
Well, because you even have like, she comes home drunk and she says all this shit about him, right? So it's like,
oh, we get that sweet love scene. Let's not forget about that with the two of them. Oh, you already forgot about it. I can see by the look on your face.
Yeah, I totally.
Oh, man. Richard Norton's sweet buns were in this scene.
What?
Yeah, there's like a sex scene between the two of them when she sends that girl away. Uh-huh. And he's in his robe.
Right. He's in his robe.
Then
yeah.
She starts taking her clothes off and he's like, how come you can, you're the only one who can talk to me like that or whatever. And then they fuck. And then he like takes off his robe and you see his ass from behind.
I totally don't remember.
Can't believe you forgot, James. It was one of the highlights of the film.
I only think of one ass and that's Van Damme's ass. Okay.
Well, this was a very Van Damme ass kind of situation.
I totally blanked on that. Must have been looking away for a second.
Oh, man, you missed out, bud.
Damn it. Now I got to watch the whole thing again.
Yeah, you got to go back on Tubi, watch it again. Fast forward. You can fast forward to that part. The ads are like, no, you got to watch this ad first before you can see Richard Norton's ass. But then we have that part. So then Cynthia Rothrock meets her. I love that scene. It's fucking hilariously bad. She pretends to get hit by her car as she's leaving the complex. And then she's like, oh, no, are you okay? Like, let me take you to the hospital. And she's like, oh, no, I'm fine. Honestly, I'm just starving. I haven't eaten in like 3 days. And then she's like, oh, well, let me buy you lunch at least then. Like, that was her tricky way to get in with this woman was to.
Yeah, here, come live with me. I'll get you a job. And like,
yeah, she's like, yeah, she's like all like, you can live at the fucking like the offices. You can have all this shit. You can have a job. I'll buy you lunch. And we're like, oh, but she's also evil. She's also like, nah, fuck this. Like, why would she even stop after hitting her with the car if she's like as bad as we are supposed to think she is?
She's tortured, Dustin.
She's a complex character. She's very nuanced. A lot of grays.
I do like, okay, so like later when Rothrock is working in the office and then Norton comes and he grabs something off of her desk and to get fingerprints off of it. Like,
to prove that she's somebody. But how does he know who she is in the first place?
Well, he's just suspicious.
I mean, so she's ex-CIA, according to the description the synopsis we read at the top of the...
Yeah, I didn't get that out of the movie.
I didn't either. At no point do they discuss her being a CIA agent. I thought, oh, her husband was like something like that.
Right.
And that's why he was killed. But there's no mention of her ever being CIA throughout the entire runtime of the film. So don't know where that comes from other than like, I don't know, the start of the screenplay or something.
No, there's nothing.
They're like, whoever was hired to write the synopsis just made that part up because they're like, I don't know what to say here.
Yeah. The wife of a dead CIA agent.
The like, wife of a guy who was killed for reasons that we don't understand.
Yeah, fights to avenge her husband, you know, by taking down a drug overlord or something. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
A sex trafficking ring.
And I mean, the grandpa tries to give her wisdom about like, you know, revenge is not good for you, that kind of thing. You should let this go. And she has her like, no, I need, you don't understand me. You know, like,
shut the fuck up, grandpa.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't know shit. Okay. You don't know the way of the world. Okay.
I pay for your groceries. What did you ever do for anyone? Sitting here in your hut.
I'm the one paying for all the food for the fucking village, Yoda. Okay? Like, fuck off.
Yeah. Although we didn't even see anyone else in the village, just them eating, the three of them.
No, I mean, you do see her, like, on her scooter going through the village later.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, hey!
She's a hero, yeah.
You're back. It would be better if, they burned down Grandfather's house. They should have just burned the village down.
Yeah, right, yeah. I thought they had at first, that they thought they burned the whole village.
They probably just didn't have the money.
I'm sure they didn't. I can't believe they even had the money to burn down that one hut. Okay, so once she starts working at the office, then Susan is like, oh, let's go to one of Richard Norton's parties at his house. I'll introduce you or whatever. Right. And they go, and there's these women by the pool. I don't know, four or five of them or whatever.
There's like four of them or something.
And Richard Norton's like, I find that greed is the best motivator. And he has like a ring?
It's a ruby.
Yeah, ruby. And he like throws it in the pool and he's like, whoever, you know, can get the ruby is the winner and can keep it. And then so these four women like beat the shit out of each other in the swimming pool. Although it's like, it's not shot in any way that looks terribly interesting or violent, or it's just like, it's just like people struggling underwater kind of. And then he says to Cynthia Rothrock, like, those two are sisters, so this is especially interesting, or something like that.
Okay, but like a couple of them should have died in the pool.
Yeah, to show like how ferocious it was, and yeah, his whole point to be made.
But okay, they got a bloody nose. Yeah. Like, boo-hoo. Yeah.
Need more brutality here. Gotta step it up, movie. You gotta deliver.
Like, if you don't have the budget, just, yeah, brutality.
Exactly.
You know?
Okay, that's violence. The thing, right? Exactly. We don't have the budget, so we need to lean into the exploitation aspects of this.
Yeah.
It's gotta be more violent, like, more sleazy, whatever, like something, right?
I mean, I have no idea what they did to earn the rated R.
Yeah.
In this. Like, I don't really get it, because they pull all their punches.
For sure. Literally and figuratively. Yeah.
I like when the kid kicks a guy off the roof.
Oh, yeah. He's getting chased. She sends him to her hotel room or whatever, or wherever she's renting a room to get cash that she left behind. Like, that room hasn't already been ransacked while she's been gone.
I know. Exactly.
And, yeah, they've sent that guy to, like, kill whoever comes to the room. Oh, no, that's right. The guy at the front desk calls them to be like, somebody's going into her room.
Right.
Yeah, that moment was pretty funny. Shot pretty unconvincingly.
And then the kid just doesn't... But it was
still probably one of the better moments of the movie.
Yeah, but also the kid is just like, yeah, someone was there and he chased me and I kicked him.
Yeah, yeah. There's no like emotional fallout for him or anything. He's just like, whatever. He just killed somebody.
He's like, Grandpa said, you do what the fuck you gotta do.
Do what the fuck you gotta do. That's a direct quote from Grandpa. The guy chases him. I love the way that the guy chases him. They go up one of those like spiral staircases.
Oh, yeah.
It's
I know.
Just like so slow. The guy,
hey, get back here. Hey, you. Hey.
Oh, God, stop, kid. Ugh. Jesus, I'm a smoker. I don't want to run up these stairs. God. And then he pulls out his gun. He's going to shoot the kid. He made a mistake. He got too close. The kid just kicks him off the side.
Don't they always make that mistake? Like, you pull out a gun, you don't have to get closer. Just shoot him, right? But people always have to get closer, and then the gun gets knocked out of their hand.
There's also a shot there where it's showing, like, the ground, how far down it is. And there's, like, a guy walking by who keeps, like, looking up at the cameras that are shooting, like, I guess, you know, on top, on the roof. Like, he's just like, oh, what's going on up there?
Right.
But yeah, so off that guy goes. We also have the moment once she starts working in the office. This was pretty funny. She's now living in the office for some reason. I guess there's apartments in there too. I guess it's where he keeps all the women that he's going to sleep with.
I guess.
You know, you're in your office. You need a woman sent up, suck your dick or whatever. But so she is like going through the files at night in one of the rooms, and then she hears someone coming. So she... Oh, quickly goes back and sits on the couch, and she's just got like a shirt on, a button-up shirt on.
Right.
Like, oh, she's sleeping here. Okay. And then Susan comes in. Is like, oh, what do you need? Do you need anything? You're good. And she's like, oh yeah, no, thanks so much for letting me live here and getting me a job. And you're the best. And Susan's like, oh, no problem. You know, my pleasure. And she leaves. And then Cynthia Roth's like, yeah. Stupid bitch. You gotta look through your files, blah, blah, you know. Like,
I know.
I was like, at that point in the movie, I was like, oh, but like, this chick is like really helping you out.
I know.
It's so weird. It's like,
I guess Cynthia Rothrock's just like, she can see through the bullshit.
Yeah, I guess so. She's better than me.
Or she just needs to get revenge that bad. She doesn't care who she hurts.
Yeah. She's just like, this person is totally like gone out on a limb for me. And I'm like, fuck you, bitch.
Yeah, but this lady is stepping in between her getting her revenge.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, get fucked.
Well, then she goes down and she breaks into the warehouse just like that other guy did
earlier.
She trips the laser. She has to run away from some guys. And then this guy shows up to save her. She's about to get killed. And this dude shows up and beats up some more of the guys. And she's like, oh, Peter... What the hell? What are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I'm a cop.
I'm undercover.
Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, who the fuck is Peter? And at what point was he introduced in the movie?
Oh, when was he introduced? He was introduced earlier.
Was he?
I'm pretty sure.
Because I did not remember that at all. It, I was like, who is this guy?
It was like very briefly. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
Was he at the bar when she was having a drink with Robert Ginty's character or something? I don't remember this guy at all.
I don't think so.
And suddenly he's just there and he's like, oh, I'm a cop. Dun, dun, dun. And I'm like, well, I just met you. So I don't like that's not a surprise.
Yeah, right.
he gets her out of that situation. And then we had the scene where the guy doesn't get burned. That was supposed to get burned because he failed in his security mission. And then that's when we see Robert Ginty is with Robert Norton's character.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Norton, sorry. He's like, he works with him. And he's the one who throws, he lights the match. I guess we assume he threw the match on the guy that we didn't see go up in flames. So we're like, oh, there's the big thrilling twist of the film.
Yeah, but
this like, guy that we met in one scene having a drink with her is a bad guy.
Yeah, I know, but like Robert Ginty is not like
he's not impressive.
He's not impressive, and he doesn't
at this
do
point in his career. You know, he's not like he's not as young as he was in The Exterminator.
Yeah, but he doesn't do anything.
No, he also doesn't do anything. I guess we're supposed to assume he's like the right hand man kind of guy in this situation.
Or he's like the mastermind, like.
I don't think he's supposed to be the mastermind, is he?
He, like, Richard Norton has his, like, his operation going on. And Robert Ginty is like some kind of partner or some kind of contact that, like, helps with, I don't know, like, global distribution?
Are you just writing this right now?
That's what I'm coming up with. I'm like,
I mean, that's more than the movie gives us. We get nothing. I mean, I assume he's also supposed to be a former CIA guy that worked with her husband.
Yeah, and that's why I'm thinking like, okay, this guy has contacts in like multiple countries.
Right, which would make sense, but there's nothing here.
This guy's going to help Richard Norton get his shit in other countries and help the global network.
Sure. And they could have easily just had a scene that explained that what you just said.
Yeah. Right.
Or something like it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Oh yeah.
But instead there's just nothing. And it's just like,
they could have talked about a shipment. They could have talked about like
anything,
you know, you need to,
hey, we got a shipment of knockoff Garbage Pail Kids coming in. We need to ship those out to Manila immediately. Yeah.
You need to fucking deliver or my clients are not going to be happy kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
They need those Garbage Pail Kids now. The kids are screaming for him over there. Yeah, I don't know. It's just poor. Like each element of the movie is poorly done.
I guess this is an example of where like the audience is doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
You have to. And like you just came up with a great explanation for what he is. And yeah, it has to be something like that. It's just that they couldn't be bothered to put it in here.
Yeah, because it's like, we don't care about that. All we care about is Cynthia Rothrock fighting Richard Norton.
But do they? Do they care about that?
Well, they obviously don't because, you know, I thought, okay, at the end, let's talk about
let's have the big showdown. Yeah. Well, there is a chase scene that happens before that with Carr. And
yeah, where
and
they
stuff.
Destroy a market.
Yeah.
A completely fake setup market.
Yeah, of course.
That is like, okay, whatever.
But never mind that. I'm fine with that being a fake setup market. But then like the way it's shot is that it's zoomed in so closely that all you see are the stalls getting smashed out of the way. There's no excitement to it. There's no dynamic to how this is staged at all, right?
Yeah.
It's just
okay, so the showdown, all of a sudden, and I forget how the showdown is set up, but all of a sudden the guy from the beginning is there, the money guy.
Yeah.
And you know, Rothrock's like, what are you doing here? And it's like, oh, it's business. He doesn't say anything, but he just is like, it's fucking business. And I got respect for that guy because he knows his role and he just fucking stays in his lane. But you think, okay, finally, we're going to have a fucking showdown.
We're going to have the fight. These guys can both throw down martial arts wise and they've done it in movies before.
Yeah. No.
No, not really.
No, not really. There's like, There's like a couple moves.
Yeah, we see a couple moves. Mostly she gets the shit kicked out of her by Richard Norton.
Yeah, and
she doesn't really score anything on him.
No, nothing. And then I like the idea of that chick showing up and pointing the gun. And then
she has who does she have as a hostage? The kid?
The kid and grandfather.
She's got the kid and the grandfather. She and can't so shoot them.
I like that idea where then Richard Norton just starts beating the shit out of Cynthia Rothrock, mm-hmm. which that would have been awesome.
Yeah, but then she has to somehow come back, right?
Right. And so she's just getting, you know, shit kicked. She kind of comes back and then the chick's like, ah.
Right.
Right. And then the cop shows up, right? And then takes the gun away from the chick. And then Cynthia Rothrock's like, okay, now she's going to start fighting
right,
again.
Right, now you guys will just hold off. I'm going to finish what I started here kind of thing. Should be.
Yeah,
that's
it should
what
be.
Should happen.
That's what should happen, right? And then you actually get the final fight.
Instead, what happens is after only a few moments of anything fighting between them, a bunch of cops show up and just arrest Richard Norton and take him away.
Yeah.
And the kid's like, you won. Cynthia, you won. She didn't do a goddamn thing.
No, she didn't do anything.
What the fuck is going on in this movie? They couldn't even have a final fight, a proper final fight in the movie. Like, what the fuck? That's the most unsatisfying thing you could do in a movie like this. What the fuck?
Honestly, at the end, I'm like, yeah, of course.
Of course.
Of course this is how it's going to end.
This was telegraphed back when they didn't show the guy get lit on fire. And
it
they cut
was
away.
So frustrating. It's so frustrating because it's like such like missed opportunities. Like you can't tell me it would have cost more money to have a fight scene.
Well, maybe a little bit more, but wouldn't it be worth it to...
Like, lighting the guy on fire, I get, okay? That costs money.
Yeah, you gotta have a stunt guy.
You have a stunt guy.
People that you bring in to make sure it's done properly.
I get that, okay? But you got a professional martial artist.
Two martial artist actors who have fought each other in a bunch of movies before this, and we can't even get a fight scene. The whole movie is building to her revenge.
Like, the whole, like, I would say 3/4 of your budget should just be that fight scene.
Yeah.
Right? All the other shit is whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unreal. I laughed. I cried. I had an amazing time. No,
yeah.
I was like, I was in shock. I was like, really? Like, that's what you're doing? The cops just come and arrest him. It's totally anticlimactic. That's it. Like,
that's it.
Movie's over. And I get that, you know, at this time with the video store market, you know, we've talked about how, you know, a lot of these things were cheaply produced. You throw it on the shelves with a cool cover and a bunch of people are going to rent it. And I'm sure that worked. And I'm sure they made money off this fucking movie. But, you know, fool me once, you know, shame on me. How many people rented fucking Lady Dragon 2 after they saw this movie? I bet almost nobody, right? Like,
well, Dustin, let's go back in time. Okay. Movie store era. Okay. Hey, I can get 7 movies for $7 for 7 days. Oh, Lady Dragon 1? Well, wait, there's Lady Dragon 2. You know what? I'm just going to get both of them.
Those. That's 2 of my 7 picks right there.
Right? Why the fuck
you
not?
You make a good point.
Right?
Tragic for
now,
that person.
Now, the question would be, you watch the first one.
Do you bother watching the second one? And you just go back and like, give me my dollar back. Can I switch this one for another movie? Give me Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, so yeah, we'll have to do Lady Dragon 2.
Fuck. Please no.
No, there's no way. I mean, unless Wes is really cruel and picks it as his next Patreon pick or something. Yeah, I just can't believe.
I'm just glad I didn't watch this on my own.
No?
Like,
oh, of your own volition.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, well, I'm going to watch something on Tubi. Oh, I'll check this out.
Because, like, occasionally I'm like, yeah, like, I like Cynthia Rothrock.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
I want to see some of her other movies. But, like, Man, I mean, it would have got me.
Yeah.
You know, because sure. you just don't know this like era and like all these movies straight to video. Like you just mm-hmm. don't know what you're dealing with.
It's true. And also I will say, and I mean, this is just, I watched it on Tubi and I assume you did the same.
Yeah, I did.
And you know, quality was pretty shit too.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say maybe DVD quality on the right. transfer that we were watching, but
yeah,
so it didn't look great either. Not the movie's no. fault, but
so I would say this is probably the worst Patreon pick we've done.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be up there.
I mean, I don't know what else.
Sorry, Wes. I mean, hopefully he agrees with us. And hey, look, it's not, it's fun to talk about shitty movies too. It can't all be bangers.
Yeah, I know, but like,
this is pretty shitty.
But this isn't even shitty fun, right?
Well, hey, I had more fun with this than I did with like Transformers, I think. I won't say this is it. I'm not saying this is better than Transformers.
Transformers is just way too fucking long, right? Like
there's a lot of problems with Transformers, but yeah.
Yeah, but if Transformers was 90 minutes, you'd be like, okay, this is a piece of
shit.
That
would help. That would help.
This is a piece of shit, but, yeah. you know, look how ridiculous this is and
right,
that is.
Right, yeah. Instead of it just wearing you out. Yeah. Well, should we get to the ratings?
Yeah, let's get to the ratings.
See what we thought of Lady Dragon. Spoiler, it's not gonna be too good.
Spoiler.
Actually,
all right, I'll go first. So I gave plot 2, mm-hmm. action kills 2, pacing 1, quotes 1, personal reaction 1, overall 1.4.
Wow, baby. I got plot 2, I got action kills 2, I got pacing 2, so one notch above you. I got quotes. Why did I give quotes and tropes a 2? There's no good quotes in this. I mean, I did laugh at some of the quotes, but not because they were good.
Because you fucking love this movie.
I'll change that to a 1 as well. My reaction's a 1. My overall score is a 1.6, so I'm just barely above you there.
All right, so overall 1.5. So let's see where that ends up.
1.5, baby.
That ends up tied with the fourth worst movie on her list, House of the Dead.
Ooh, I'll take House of the Dead over this fucking thing any day.
Yeah.
Sorry, I gotta say it.
House of the Dead. So
Uwe Boll, he's working on a whole other level compared to these people.
Okay, so this will be new number 249. So it's only ahead of The Octagon. Which we'll have to redo The Octagon.
I feel like we were probably pretty hard on The Octagon. Not that I think it's probably great, but
well, that's,
is it that bad?
That's back when we were like, you know, we have to have integrity in this list.
Yeah. Bullshit. Give me a fresh bottle of Chianti with my Brie.
So this goes ahead of The Octagon, Hell Riders, and Ballistic Exorcist Ever.
Okay, yeah. In some real fine company there.
So new number 249.
There you go.
All right. Well, you know, thanks, Wes, for picking this movie. And
in one sense, he did save us from watching it independently one night on Tubi when we were bored.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like I agree. You too can make us watch complete dog shit. by becoming a Patreon follower at the highest level. And
careful, James. There's some masochists out there that are going to be like...
Oh, yeah. They just want to hear us fucking suffer.
Can't wait.
I mean, sure. Whatever.
Right, we'll do it.
We'll do it. We'll fucking do it. But yeah, you can go on Patreon at Action Action Podcast. We have over 200 episodes from our back catalog that you can listen to. And we got a bunch of bonus content on there as well. And you can also find us on Instagram at Action Action Podcast. You can talk to Dustin and chat about whatever the fuck you guys chat about on there.
Oh, yeah. And BFOP wise, check out, it'll probably have been out for a little while by the time people hear this, but check out the Podcasting After Dark, TV Obscura with the guys from Talking Back, doing more Canadian shows on there.
Oh, yeah. What did they watch?
They did, like, the hilarious House of Frightenstein, which is probably, I'm thinking, before your time. I used to love that show, though.
From Talking Back guys? Aren't those guys, like, younger?
No, I think Tim's about my age.
Okay.
Maybe a little younger.
Okay, what about Dean?
Dean's younger, yeah.
Okay, I never even.
I'm sure.
Of this
I'm
show.
Assuming he watched whatever his okay, older what el- brother
what
made
else?
Him watch.
What else?
I don't remember.
Fuck.
Go check out the episode, James.
Damn it. Okay. Yes, check them out. Check out the fellow BFO peers.
Mm-hmm.
And our list is on Letterboxd at Action Action. And yeah, that's it. Wes, I think you owe us on the next one, buddy. Okay.
Yeah, but make the next one good. Something real good.
Like Conan the Barbarian 2?
Oh, shit. I would totally watch that.
No, I really don't want to watch it. But, hey, maybe? Anyways, we'll catch you next week.
He's got scallions.